Thanks for joining us and supporting Vicky Doe Fitness. We ask for your continued support by becoming an It's All About Health and Fitness premium member. Go to www.vickidoefitness.com/join. Again, that's www.vickidoefitness.com/join and register for a $6 monthly subscription. And remember, keep listening, sharing, and checking us out.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical healthcare provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment.
Today, we talk about the paleo diet. What is paleo living? Can we follow it? For weight control, fruit and vegetable choice may matter. Are we making right choices? Krishna Devenport from Baobab Wellness is joining us to share with us her journey of living the paleo lifestyle. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. This program is brought to you by Vicky Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now, here's your host, Vicky Doe and D. Banks Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. Virginia D. Banks Bright.
Hi, Vicky. How are you?
I am very fine. We have a great show today, don't we?
We do. I'm really excited.
We are here today. We're discussing the paleo diet and living the paleo lifestyle. We will discuss today the definition of the paleo diet, what it means, what are some of the healthy benefits that may or should happen if you follow this way of living. We will look at ways that maybe this diet can be more sustainable and easier to follow because you know, we've heard that it's kind of hard to follow this diet.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
Yeah, Vicky.
I've heard it's kind of difficult to follow. So I'm interested to hear what she has to say about how she's made that part of her lifestyle.
Exactly, because we have today Krishna Devenport. She's the founder of Baobab Wellness. And Baobab, we found out from her earlier that it's a tree, huh?
It is a tree in Australia and Africa, and she said one other place, and it's one of these kind of trees that it bears fruit or you can eat from it, and it's a total wellness tree.
Yeah, and people can, the way it's the architecture of the tree, you can actually live in it if you want to, huh?
Yeah, so it's a weird looking tree. I've seen it on television.
Yeah,
it's very strange. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so today it's all about paleo. So our topic today is, what is paleo living and can we follow it?
Sounds good to me.
Yes. So we're excited. As we said, we are excited to talk with Krishna Devenport, and she will talk about her transition to eating the paleo diet and living that lifestyle. And we are very grateful that she can spend time with us and tell us her story. She will be giving us some tips on how we may be able to follow this diet and embrace the lifestyle if we choose to do so. But I thought it was interesting too when I looked at some of her bio. She loves practicing yoga.
I knew you liked that.
Yeah. So I thought that was good. So I can't wait to ask her questions about that as well. And so we have a lot of good things in store for you today. So we're just going to keep on and let's get into the show. Now, I want to talk about some of the good shows that we have coming down the pipe for you guys. We have Dr. Lolita McDavid,
who is the Director of Child Advocacy and Protection at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital in Cleveland. So we're really anxious to hear from her.
Oh, okay. And she's going to be talking about the ongoing epidemic of infant mortality, particularly in our state of Ohio. And we also have Dr. Stephen King. He's a psychiatrist. He's coming to our show as well to talk about mental health issues, specifically ADD, bipolar disorder, and just to give us some good advice on how we can support and cope with this as families, these mental illnesses. Because, you know, a lot of times we hear about families, they can't find, you know, who to go to.
Lack of resources.
It's awful, isn't it?
Lack of resources. resources, big time. Yes.
So he's going to be coming to talk with us about that. So we can't wait. Mm-mm. We also have a foot specialist coming. We have a foot specialist coming so we can talk about our feet.
We need to talk about that. We all have issues.
Yeah, with our feet now. We got to get those issues. Feet together.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then we have Joe Moss. We mentioned Joe Moss the other time.
I know. I like Joe. He helped me start on the journey of exercise and fitness years ago.
Yes. So he's going to be talking, coming to the show, but he's going to talk more about his personal training and health and wellness business and then give us some exercise tips as well. And maybe he'll give some tips on how to get that six pack.
You know, I was just thinking the same thing. You know, we were on the same wavelength because I was thinking of the pictures that he has on social media. And what stands out is that six pack. That's difficult to get for anybody.
That's difficult.
You think you think we can get a six pack?
We can get maybe a two. A two is fine with me.
I'll be happy with a half.
But yeah, he's going to be here to share with us some great things. And as always, we have our hot topics and our informative show. So we're excited about our fall season, right, Dean?
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Should be good. You know, we're coming up on 2 years here pretty soon.
I know. Isn't that great?
That's great.
Yeah. So as always, as we say, keep listening, sharing, and checking us out. So, Dee, you know, we were talking about the whole Janet Jackson and us mm-hmm. going to the concert, but mm-hmm. then you took off and went to Italy.
I did. But, buongiorno.
Yeah.
But it seems like a lifetime. It was only a few weeks ago.
Just a
few weeks ago. Yeah.
But yeah, we went down to Cincinnati.
And how was she?
Oh, my God. Her show was like, from the time she stepped on stage, it was pure energy. And then she might had maybe, 5 or 10 minutes and strictly on.
That's what I've heard. And you know, Janet is 50.
And she was doing it. I was like, oh, girl, I ain't lost it.
Fit and fabulous at 50. Janet, I believe. I stand corrected. I believe she has hit 50.
Yeah.
And I just think that's just fabulous.
I'm telling you.
That's fabulous.
I'm telling you, she was moving.
Was she? She had a good group behind her.
Oh, yes. You know, they always have. She and her, that's why I know she probably really misses her brother because they
choreography was major with them, wasn't it?
Yes.
Choreography was major.
But it was on point. It was on
that's
point.
Great.
And the girls, they're like, oh my God. I said, see, this is the true stuff we looking at.
Oh yeah. I remember seeing her. My first concert was in 1990. And I uh-huh. think I was telling you it was the Rhythm Nation tour.
Yes.
I was pregnant with my last child. And I remember standing up on the seat screaming and yelling. Uh-huh. Maybe that's why Marky is, like
the dance and all that. Yeah.
Because I was screaming and yelling. That was when she was with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Oh, big time.
And who were doing a lot of her music and so I've been following her over the years for a long, long, long time. Hopefully I'm going to be able to go and there. I see she's coming to North Carolina around the time of my birthday. So I'm
hoping to go. Oh,
that'd be good.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good celebration.
I'm excited about this, tickets mm-hmm. to see Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't think I was going to be able to get them. He's coming to this area in a couple of weeks and happened to get
tickets.
So I understand he gives a good show as well.
Okay.
You know, that's that old school.
That old school stuff,
old school.
And I'm going to tell you, like I told my girls standing there, and what was so cool about the crowd when we went to Janet Jackson, it was very mixed. You saw a few young folk.
Oh, wow.
And then you saw people all the way up to in their 70s and beyond.
That's her appeal.
Yes.
That's her appeal.
And the girls are like, oh, my God. I feel like I'm going to cry. I said, well, you need to do something because, I've been to some of y'all's concert and it was cool, but you know.
You wanted to cry for other reasons.
Big time. But yeah, it was great.
Oh, that's great.
It was
great.
So how was your week? I know y'all did the
Lynx. We had our 60th anniversary. Our organization turned 60. And my sister came to town, who is the national president. And you know, it turned out to be, as I was telling we had a wonderful band in the band, which was kind of put together, a really good group here in town. But they also had Billy Beck, who was one of the original Ohio players.
Oh, wow.
And I invited invited some of my friends down from Cleveland and so forth. And Vicky, it ended up being a true 1970s funky butt.
Oh, wow.
So y'all remember those back in the
day? Yes. So y'all jamming.
And you know it's a good party because they were trying to flick on the lights on and off and get us out of there. Nobody wanted to leave. It was 11 o'clock, and the band was putting up their instruments, and everybody was like, does anybody have a boom box so we can put some tapes in so we can continue to party? You know it's a good party.
That's a good party.
Nobody wanted to go home.
That's a good party.
And that's at our age. Nobody wanted to go home. So it was a wonderful, and it was a well-attended event. And
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's nice to sometimes, you know, and I always tell Nate, because sometimes we get so busy and we like, oh, well, we can't do this. But, you know, life is short. Let's go out there and party and enjoy.
Yeah, and like I said, even some of my friends who came from Cleveland, who are not, you know, the big, big partiers, they didn't want to leave.
Oh, wow.
They spent the night.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice
and
party.
And called back the next day, and they were just talking about what a great, the band was fabulous.
Oh, that's just fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And so kudos to the group that my Link sisters that pulled it together. My sister had a great time, so it was really fun.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, it was fun.
That is great. What is going on this week?
Everything.
Let's remind people it is fall.
Oh yeah.
Go get your flu shots.
I got mine yesterday.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, I guess because I'm infectious diseases, I just think it's so important. And we at our hospital, we're making it mandatory.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're, you know, it's not like this is something new. A lot of organizations in this country are making, unless you have a religious reason or an allergy or something like that, we're making it mandatory and giving the hospital employees badges to get your to wear for your flu shots, because we do realize that people still die with influenza.
Oh yes.
And you know, as much as we can protect, and it's here we are at the end of September, beginning of October, and we're starting this mass effort. So everybody go out and get your flu shot.
Go get your flu shot.
And there are very few reasons why you shouldn't be able to take a flu shot.
I know, because they have them everywhere. They have them like have a one stop shop.
And you know, the new guidelines are almost like, anything with two legs over 6 months probably should get a flu shot.
Okay.
But
okay.
Check with your doctor, of course, like everything else. But it's I think it's very important to get the flu shot.
We know it's football season.
Yay!
We got college football, NFL football. You know, our TV is on constantly with some football, something showing.
Yes.
So, I thought it was a great weekend because...
You were in Atlanta, right?
We were in ATL.
The Hotlanta, ATL.
That's it. Now, even though I've been up in Ohio and that's my second home, you know, I was born and raised in ATL.
Oh, wow. ATL.
And so I had to come back, but I went specifically with Nate for a conference.
Mm.
But what we thought was so funny was we were in, you know how you be in those big hotels and they have the conference rooms and so forth and, you know, the folks hang out at the bar part and they be looking at the thing, you know, the TV and so forth. And so I went with him to one of the sessions, you know, for a little bit because we were going to go right after. We were going to go eat and meet with family. But all during the session, people, we kept laughing because while the Falcons were playing the Dallas Cowboys, and they were winning.
Wow.
It was an upset. We kept hearing shouting and screaming and yaying and all
That's amazing stuff.
Isn't that funny?
It was funny because, you know, there were a lot of upsets on Sunday. A lot of people said the Pope came and a lot of the upsets as a result of Pope Francis coming in and praying, and those teams that didn't have a prayer got a prayer.
They sure did, didn't they? So that was great. When we speak of football, we still, you know, that's a big thing out there now, talking about all of the injuries and things that happen, the concussions that are happening, the major brain injuries that are happening in NFL. But we don't think about all the stuff that's happening in college, high school, little league. And so that's why this article I thought was very interesting. And this article is Keeping Young Players Safe on the Football Field. And this article was written on CNN, their website. This article was really talking about how that there's more than 1 million young athletes that play high school football, and every fall Friday night, They're out there in the elements, getting beat up, and all of that.
Yep, they are.
Yeah, and you were talking about the latest for that was some type of injury,
laceration of the spleen in a young boy from New Jersey who ended up passing. So it's, not the football is not for the faint of heart. I had three boys, one of them played football for a hot minute, but it's a tough sport, first of all. And this article, I'll let you continue, was very interesting.
Yeah, because it was talking about one of the guys, his name was Eddie Canales, I think. His son was playing football for high school and was in a tackle. It went helmet to helmet and he put his head down, his chin down, and therefore he got major injury and suffered a spinal cord injury. With this happening, the traumatic brain injuries, all of those type of things happening, the father, Eddie, he said, you know what, let me start this organization because there just needed to be some type of support group for players and families that were in a similar situation where they had to deal with their kids getting these injuries. Traumatic injuries. And so that's what he founded, the Gridiron Heroes.
Good for him. And he was a CNN hero for his work.
Yes, he was. He was honored. All this to say, they've been going around trying to, spread the word, get it out there of the importance of protecting. Because, we think about football for the NFL and all that, but it's a lot of football being played by these little
peewee football, right?
And then they going all the way elementary, then high school,
right?
And look at all those times that they're being exposed to. We aren't talking about some little broken bones because that happens. We're talking about major injuries with concussions and so forth.
You remember the Pop Warner? I remember that as a child growing up. The Pop Warner was popular for little kids that wanted to play, football and so forth.
We're talking on this article, just different incidents where the moms were going in there, rushing after the game.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, to the hospital and going, you know what? Your son has broken,
three
vertebrae, 3, 4, and 5. Those are crucial.
Major.
So now, therefore, your son probably won't ever walk again. Can you imagine hearing that?
Can you imagine?
Yeah. So now they're doing type of research. They're saying, you know what? We got to protect our players' heads. And then even have these athletic trainers out there on the field, have the paramedics, all of these folks, so that when the players do go down, that they're up and getting them.
That was always my concern with my boys, and it especially one of them. The others played basketball, but I just needed to know that there was somebody other than no offense to a family practice doctor, but I wanted to make sure that there was somebody out there that knew about sports injuries. I needed to see a real orthopedic surgeon.
Exactly.
I needed to make sure that there was somebody involved with neurosurgery or some sort of neuro something or other out there where my son was. And on a lot of these high school, and I think they've beefed up things a lot more, but there was a time where there were doctors that were out there that maybe were not as trained to take care of these sports injuries and so forth, and maybe some of the coaches that weren't even
weren't really taking it seriously.
No, they
were telling them, sit down for a minute and then go on back and play,
because it was also associated with, let's toughen up, the thing with the boys, and the same kind of thing they're having with the military now and post-traumatic stress. But, it was like, oh, let's buck up, go sit on the bench and then run back out there. So, but now they're finding out they did. And I think this came to mind. I can't remember the name of the football player. He played for the San Diego Chargers. He believed he committed suicide, and he was just brought into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He kind of, at least for me, generated the conversation about, I think it was Junior Seno, I believe that was his name, that generated the conversation about head injuries in these football players years later. And, there's a lot of what we call, I remember when I used to work in the neurosurgery and neurology department, when you hit somebody's head, there's something called contra coup. The brain sits in this fluid, so it hits one side of your head and the other side of your head. Well, imagine if that's going on constantly out there. You got to imagine that there's got to be some kind of trauma.
Some type of trauma and bruising.
Yeah, so 87 of 91 former NFL players who donated their brains to science tested positive for chronic traumatic encephalopathy, known as CTE, according to the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and Boston University. It's a degenerative disease that's linked with repeated head trauma and concussions. Just this year, thousands of former football players agreed to a settlement with the NFL over allegations that the league hid the dangers of concussions from players, and a number of NFLers have retired at young ages due to concerns over concussions and how they might contribute to CTE. And sometimes I think I have seen a Michael Strahan on television talk about injuries and so forth, and had a, and he played, you know, I think he has a Super Bowl ring and played for the Giants, but was mindful of the injuries and so forth that go along with playing football.
Right. And so the key is, and what's important about this article is, we got to really look into the whole concussion thing, because they're saying that years later, it can, it with these head injuries going without being looked at, it can cause different brain chemical reactions and so forth. And maybe that's why we are having these mental illnesses and suicide and, and things of that nature.
Right.
They're doing a lot of research, and then they're tightening up with the high school football. They've shown, and this was according to the National High School Sports Related Injury Surveillance Study, there were more than 500,000 injuries related to high school football just last year. Concussions were about one quarter of all injuries. So the advice is, for parents, yeah, you want your kids to be out there because we want them to get that physical activity, but we don't want them to bang up their head.
We don't. No, you know, it's not worth all of that. And, you know, not all these little boys are going to end up making millions of dollars out there in the NFL.
That's
another thought that. But I think parents, like anything else, are becoming smarter. They're reading about these kinds of injuries. You know, you talk about social media and so forth, but fortunately, that kind of information is being put out on social media. It's right in your face, so that parents will be able to help their children make healthy choices about playing these sports and have a conversation with the sports team.
The sport team,
you know,
also
the
high schools.
So, right.
Like we were saying, making sure that they wear their helmets,
right,
making sure they have
proper fitting equipment.
Yes. Athletic trainer.
Yep.
Full-time, because a lot of high schools do not have full-time athletic trainers.
No.
And like you were saying, it'll be nice to have a team physician out there that
knows,
you know, has that background in sports medicine.
Yeah, not just, you know, somebody who's just maybe would like to do it, or, you know, just bringing him on.
A volunteer.
Right. No.
That's it. Is there anything new about the Ebola crisis?
Well, I think we're quiet. You know, I'm going to San Diego next week for our Infectious Disease Week. Several of the speakers are going to be talking about Ebola, the vaccine. So I have a lot of information to bring back. Things seem like all quiet on the Western front right now.
Okay, so, well, that's a good thing. That is a good thing. Now, today, we are talking about the paleo way of eating and living. We will first figure out what exactly is the paleo diet, how we can receive the healthy benefits by following this lifestyle. The most important thing is how we can stick to it if we decide to do this way of eating and living. And so today we have with us Krishna Devenport of
Baobab
Wellness, who will share with us her story on how she and her family successfully embraced the paleo diet and way of living. And she will give us helpful tips on what we can do to follow this plan as well. But first, I want to share with you, because when I saw this article, Dee, I thought about all the stuff that we have been talking about, and it was in the New York Times, and I thought it was good to talk about it a little bit today, most especially since we're talking about healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so this article is entitled, "For Weight Control, Fruit and Vegetable Choice May Matter." And it was written in the As Well section of the New York Times. This article was just saying that, we tell folks as healthcare professionals and so forth, eat more fruits and vegetables because
that will
help control your weight.
Mm-hmm.
But a new study suggests that it really depends on what fruits and vegetables that you
and
eat.
And this was a huge sample size.
Yes, it was. So the researchers for this study found 117,000 plus men and women.
Huge sample
and
size.
And so what they recorded, these folks, these were both men and women in their 30s and 40s, and they recorded diet information. It was a longitudinal study. They followed these folks for 24 years. They interviewed them at four-year intervals.
That's a long time.
Isn't that great?
To follow people.
Yes.
With people moving here and there and so forth. That's a long time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they found that an overall increase in a daily serving of vegetable or fruit over a four-year period led to less weight gain. For vegetables, it was a
0.25 pounds.
Yeah, 0.25 pounds mm-hmm. less gain. And then for fruits, a 0.53 mm-hmm. pounds mm-hmm. for fruit.
Wow.
That means less gain. So you didn't gain mm-hmm. as much when you ate either vegetables or fruit. They also found what was significant is that when you had an increase intake of berries, these guys that had an increased intake of berries were linked to a 1.11 pound lower weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
And then with citrus fruits, a 0.27 lower weight gain. You know, we always talk about adding protein because it's good for not only filling you, but it's also good for you not losing your muscle mass, your lean muscle mass when you lose weight.
Right.
And so adding a daily serving of tofu or soy was tied to 2.47 pounds less weight gain.
Wow.
And then apples or pears, 1.24 pounds less weight gain. And I can say with the apples and pears because of the whole fiber.
Right.
If a person, I will have to say, if a person ate potatoes, and these are called starchy vegetables, potatoes, peas, and corn.
And we've talked about that before.
Yeah,
right?
They had smaller weight loss.
Right.
The study in PLOS Medicine, this study controlled for many health and behavioral variables, including changes in dozens of food and nutrient intakes apart from fruits and vegetables. And the lead author for this research, Dr. Monica Bertoia, mm-hmm. she was a researcher at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, said that Americans' fruit and vegetable intake was mostly fruit juices and potatoes.
Ooh, lots of sugar, carbs, starch.
That's it. So to make better choices, you can make better choices when it comes to fruits and vegetables, and that's with apples, pears, and berries, and doing non-starchy vegetables.
And that's what we've talked about, you know, more berries and apples and pears, and for the reasons that you just mentioned, more fiber filling us up.
That's it. And it was more intake of choosing these fruits and vegetables wisely,
right,
that you had less weight gain.
Right.
So that's a good study.
That is a good study.
What is the paleo diet? When we looked, you know, I had to do my, like you say, my research.
Your research. Oh, yeah, your due diligence.
You know, we did a ranking of diets, and I went to the U.S. News rated diets, and the paleo is similar to the Atkins and the Eco-Atkins diet. So it is a low-carb diet. These low-carb diets are known to bring on quick weight loss. There's still plenty of research that needs to be done when it comes to the paleo diet because we're finding out that's a hard, sustainable diet.
It's kind of tough to sustain.
It's tough to sustain.
And you want to be on something that's sustainable, not, you know, fly by night.
So that you can do it mm-hmm. and it can be a part of your lifestyle. So the claim for this diet is that it leads to a healthy, disease-free life. Mm-hmm. That's the claim to fame. The pros for this diet is that it is a very low sodium diet. So that's a good thing.
Which means less processed food.
That's it.
We often talk about on here because salt helps to preserve things. So a lot of these processed foods are that way so they can last for a long time.
You do on this diet, you are able to eat meat. So let's see. The simple premise for the paleo diet is that if the cavemen didn't eat it, then you shouldn't either. So that means, you know, let's think about it. Way back in the day, mm-hmm. before the whole agriculture type revolution came about, mm-hmm. then you didn't have wheat and mm-hmm. grains and the refined white mm-hmm. flour and
right.
sugar
and all
that.
You couldn't process all that stuff.
No, you couldn't. Mm-mm. So then you were left with going out, doing your hunting, gathering fruits and vegetables, eating meat, fish, poultry, and all of that. And so that is where this whole paleo diet and lifestyle, that's their philosophy. They're saying on this diet that you can load up on meat and plants, plenty of fruits and vegetables, because mm-hmm. you still want leafy greens and fruit on this
right,
diet,
right.
but you're staying away from a lot of the wheat and a lot of the
refined sugars
and yeah. a lot of the processed food. But what's also different about this diet is that you can't really eat legumes, beans.
No, and grains.
Yes.
You know, that's out too, because
yes.
I guess that's the pre-agricultural revolution.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't process those things. So,
yeah, so,
I
well.
I kind of miss that a little bit.
I know. So that's probably why.
And no dairy. You did mention dairy. No
yes,
dairy.
No dairy. Goodbye.
So I guess this is a dumb question. So they didn't have cows then?
Well, hey, we're not going to go back to what they had and what they didn't have, but that's what they say.
Wow. I was like, okay, so when did cows come on? That's just one of those.
But they do eat cow's meat in this diet.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
yep,
they do.
They do.
Mm-hmm. They do. But the key is, some of the key questions that researchers are asking and healthcare professionals, dietitians, and so forth, can you lose weight? So
right.
they're doing research on that. It hasn't been shown specifically, but yes, you can lose weight on this diet. One study has shown that, yeah, folks that participated, they lost maybe 5 pounds after 3 weeks. But here's the thing. There's just little research out there because they have to gather the folks that
right.
are actually doing this diet
that's right.
consistently.
That's right.
So that's why.
Well, you know, even though they let you eat meat, you can't go out and eat 5 hamburgers.
That's exactly
or 5
it.
Steaks. So,
that's
I mean,
exactly it.
You have to, everything in moderation.
Right. And then you can. If you want to lose weight, and I always say that to folks, if you suppose you are on the paleo diet and you want to lose weight, or another question is it heart healthy?
Yes.
Then since you are doing meat and fruits and vegetables, and we know fruits and vegetables are very heart healthy, then with your meat, pick the lean
right.
poultry and
that's
the fish
exactly right.
and so forth.
Yes.
And
right.
stay away from, you still can stay away from mm. that saturated red meat.
Right.
If you want to, you know, if you want to have a heart healthy diet.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just like choices. I mean, I'm sure they
mm-hmm.
had choices with this diet like anything else. Making healthy choices.
Making
the foods
healthy
that
choices.
You're allowed to have.
Yes, making choices. That's what it's all about. There are scientists and founders of this paleo diet that says that, yes, you can have reduced blood pressure, you can lower your cholesterol and triglycerides, and have healthy benefits from this diet. And like I said, and have always said, every time you're doing more fruits and vegetables and you're staying away from processed sugary
right.
foods,
right.
that's a good thing.
Refined sugar. That's
exactly a good thing.
Right. And we've talked about how sugar's killing us.
It's killing us,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so that's why I said, you know what? Let's find someone that's actually living this paleo diet. And we were able to find
that's gonna
a person.
That's going to be exciting to hear her, yeah.
Yes, we were able to find a person. She's an African-American sister.
Wonderful.
With she and her family on this paleo diet and healthy living. And so we're going to discuss more with her at this time. Here with us today is our guest, Krishna Devenport. Ms. Devenport is the founder of Baobab Wellness, and it's a health and wellness platform. She developed this platform to help foster a greater mind, body, and soul connection through exercise, nutrition, and meditation. Now, she is specifically here with us today to discuss and share with us how we can embrace upon following the paleo diet and living. We love Krishna because she is maybe just one of the African-American
right.
folks out there that
yeah.
that are following, you and your family are following this diet. And so, and well, it's really a way of living, a healthy type of living. And so we definitely want you to share with us, and she's here to share with us, some tips on how we can embrace this type of living and receive the healthy benefits as well. So what do you think, Dee?
I think I'm excited. This is great. And you know, we reviewed the U.S. News and World Report diet some time back, and paleo was right up there with them. So, and like you say, I like the thing of not thinking about these as diets. It's a way of life. I mean, it really is a lifestyle change.
Yes, indeed. So how are you, Krishna Devenport?
I am wonderful. I'm great. I've been like nervous and prepping and all this other fun stuff for today. So I am very excited to be here.
Well, we are glad that you have come to join us. We are excited as well, right, Dee?
Oh, we definitely are.
You're joining us today, and we really want to hear your story. When I looked and did my research, I found out that you were a former dancer who danced with a company years ago. You practice hatha yoga. I practice yoga too, but you've done it for over 10 years. You lead a busy life just like all of us do. We lead that busy life with work and family, and you are working on Wall Street. So that has to be stressful. You think so?
I really should update some of mine, because when people go and research me, I'm formerly working on Wall Street. I left in November of last year.
Okay.
To focus primarily on Baobab and building it out as a full-fledged fitness and nutritionist business. So I'm still equally as busy, but just less Wall Street busy.
Right.
That's it.
Good, because it was a stressful environment and it was taking its toll on me. So
we can imagine.
I know, big time, big time.
And I did it for 17 years, so I think it's okay if I come.
Oh, I think so, you know, too. Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's a lot. That's a long time, and I'm sure it was stressful. So it's great that you got a chance to move on.
Was this your passion?
Was this your passion, you know, doing the whole wellness thing?
So it's been my passion for a very long time, but I kind of pushed it to the back of my mind because I had this other dream about being a stockbroker to the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I didn't like the stars that much. So I went to institutional work, meaning I traded for banks. So
uh-huh.
I taught banks how to trade better. And then around, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago, I just started to focus more on how my family was living and how we could get better. And then I started writing about it, and it became the only thing I actually wanted to do. So I started to, as much as I loved what I did on Wall Street, I started to not want to do it as much and wanted to figure out a way to make this love of this new lifestyle and this way of eating and this like need to work out, this want to live a certain healthy life, you know, profitable. And so that's where I'm at this point in life.
Okay.
Was there one person who sort of you looked at when you were on this journey of deciding the paleo diet that you looked at and said, you know, this is something that I'd like to pursue? Was there one person or group, or tell us a little bit about that?
When I looked at going paleo, I mean, I kind of ate a paleo diet without even realizing it all alone. But I started reading Mark Sison, his book, and I was like, this is totally what we need. Because also my husband is diabetic, and mm-hmm. I wanted to figure out some ways for him to eat properly and that would help with his blood sugar. Paleo seemed to be the best way to do it. It just seemed so simple. Like, okay, so I take out the rice and I take out the bread. Easy. Right? Those are the easy parts of it. And when I got into really being paleo, I realized that there weren't that many people that looked like me. That became more disturbing. And it's one of the reasons that I think my girlfriend and I used to write the site together, that we started it, because we were like, we're the only ones. We can't find anybody else. Like, exhaustive Google searches, and we would come up with one person or two people. And those people weren't even actively like in the lifestyle. They were just writing about, where are all the black people who are paleo? And then they were constantly being quieted by the people who were of color, saying, well, that doesn't matter. You know, we're all one community, but it did matter. So, I mean, I've kind of built my own little community as opposed to being a part of a existing community.
With this paleo diet or this paleo way of living, what was your aha moment? What made you say, you know what, let me go ahead and embrace this? When was that?
When I decided to go ahead and do it, I took it on with my two girlfriends. And we just, at first I thought, you know how you do things with your girlfriend, you're like, oh, this is not going to stick. But we just, you know, we started making all these spreadsheets and recipes, and it stuck. And that was the moment where I was like, this is it. Because it's even easier than I thought based off of what I had read.
Okay.
And that was the moment. And also what ended up happening is because I was doing this with my girlfriends and I'm the person who cooks in my house. My husband doesn't cook too often. I'm the person that cooks. And I realized as he was starting to take his blood sugar and go to the doctor, every time he went, it was just getting better and better and better. And then they started taking him off one medication, then another medication. And it was like, hey, wait a minute. The only change we've made is this. So that was when I was like, this is it. This is our life forever.
Okay, that sounds good.
You know, for our audience, because I always like to start with definitions, why don't you tell us what is the paleo diet?
Okay, so the paleo diet refers to a dietary lifestyle that centers around the Paleolithic era. So what that basically, in layman terms, is you're supposed to eat like a caveman would eat or a cave person would eat. You would be eating lean meats and fish, shellfish and eggs, certain vegetables,
okay,
and root vegetables also, and fruits and berries, things like that. Fruits, berries, mushrooms. What you wouldn't be eating are what things that we know, which are processed foods, right? So cavemen wouldn't have had wheat because they wouldn't have known how to process it so that it was digestible.
Okay.
They wouldn't have had things like string beans, which I do eat, but string beans, because they wouldn't have been able to dig them out of the ground. They wouldn't have had the tools you needed to plant and dig them out of the ground.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about that. Right.
Yeah. The same thing goes for things like potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, no dairy existed, so you don't normally eat dairy. So very few paleos eat dairy, and if they do, it's usually that they eat cheese, but they don't drink cow's milk.
Mm. Okay.
Which, you know, all these studies have come out and said we don't even need cow's milk, so it becomes easier to kind of digest that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big part of it, or what people always hear about, is the life, is the meal and the diet and how you change how you eat. Another part of it, though, is that you are conditioning your body to do the same things that cavemen would. So you are outside more often. You're forcing yourself to walk more, run short distance, not long distances, but short distances.
Mm-hmm.
You exercise differently. So things like CrossFit work because CrossFit are very high intensity and then it's over.
Okay.
And that's why CrossFit is huge in the paleo community, because it's very centered on getting it in and getting it over, because cavemen wouldn't have had the stamina to go a 26-mile run, right? They go short bursts and then they rest, they go short bursts and then they eat. So that's basically the gist of how you live.
Okay, so a lot of interval training, huh?
Interval training, which is really really helpful in building muscle.
Oh, big time.
In a fast way.
Uh-huh.
So that you get stronger without the burnout. So like if you're a sprinter,
mm-hmm,
sprinting is a paleo thing, right? Cause it's something they always talk about. But like long distance running is harder on your body. And
mm-hmm,
so you want to get away from the things that burn and break down your body. You want to get towards the things that are building up your body.
I'm curious as to how, because you do have family, how did you trick them, or what did you disguise to get them involved in the whole paleo
diet? Especially your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was the hardest. My oldest was easy because he was probably about 4 or so. Maybe he's 9 now, but he was maybe turning 5 when I made the full change. And I learned some tricks from other people in the community about paleo frying, like using certain kind of fats and oils and things like that, which, you know, I love fried chicken, and that's one of, like, the few things that I don't do paleo, but I learned recipes to do it that way, to kind of ease them in.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing was to get my husband not to eat rice.
Oh.
That was probably the hardest thing we could have done. And so every now and again, I'll let him have it, but it was probably the hardest thing. Like, I said no more pasta, and he was like, fine, that's fine. But rice, because he is, he's Jamaican.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, staple in your meal.
Uh-huh.
The hardest. So the way I tricked him was I started grinding up cauliflower.
Okay.
Cauliflower rice.
Yes.
And I would make it in like a chicken stock. So mm-hmm. it tastes even more like rice than cauliflower. And at first he was like, okay, something is not right about this rice. And then he realized it wasn't rice. And he doesn't love it, but doesn't hate it.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And then I do a lot of sweet potatoes. Like sweet potatoes are one paleo, you know, potato, I guess, because they come out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So you can grab them out of the ground easily. So I do a lot of things with sweet potatoes. And then I do a lot of things with plantains because, you know, that's another staple in our life. And so those are the kind of ways I trick them. So, like, instead of having, like, lasagna, I do what's called pastanone, and that is plantains in replace of the noodles.
Okay.
Yeah, I have friends who can, I mean, I didn't know that there were so many different ways of doing plantain menus and things to eat. It's a very diverse, you know, that you can use in many, diverse menus.
And it tastes delicious. So
yeah.
One of those things, they're like, oh, maybe I did mix the bread, or maybe I didn't, right? I mean, the noodles, but then you have this, like, sweet plantain, and you're like, oh, it tastes exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the first time I made it, he didn't care for it. And then I made it again. I just made it for myself and made him something separate, and he was like, where's mine? So...
Mm-hmm.
What we say, you had to think of ways to get him engaged into your way of living. And it seems like it's worked.
It's worked, but it did take some tricking.
Okay.
So why do you think that, you know, you said that you and your girlfriends were looking online and so forth. Why do you think that, or if they are or not, African-Americans are not embracing this, or you don't see people that look like you that are embracing this? Like, you know, because certainly, you know, we talk on our show about the diseases that are disproportionately represented in the African-American community. And certainly this diet would certainly help with hypertension and diabetes. So why do you think that maybe we don't embrace it as much?
Well, I think there's two things. The one, like, I just look at my entire family outside of, like, my husband and my children. My family didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we grew up eating a certain way. We grew up with these big, like, lavish Thanksgiving dinners and things like that. And we still have them, but they're more health conscious now.
Mm-hmm.
But we just, as a family, I don't think, or as Black people, African Americans, I don't think we actually know about it. Because
right.
it's kind of like a secret within a community. Up until recently, you couldn't really find a lot on it unless you knew where to go.
That's true.
If you have a Google alert set up, you
mm-hmm.
wouldn't know
mm-mm.
all the things that are happening. Even now, I think like three restaurants opened in New York that are, they call them farm to table, but basically what they are paleo restaurants. And you were in, and the reason I know that, besides living in the city, is that I have a Google alert set up to alert me when stuff that is involving the paleo lifestyle comes up. So if you don't know about it, you can't really embrace it.
Hmm.
And then, you know, embracing new things is always kind of scary.
It is scary.
It is scary.
And then the second, and the more, I guess, more important reason I think is access. It's not a super expensive diet or lifestyle, but it can be. And if you live in, say, like a food desert, you're going to have access.
So what were you were saying, Dee? What were you asking?
Well, about embracing why African Americans don't embrace it. But, you know, as you were saying, that not knowing a lot about it, and you really did have to, including myself, you know, I'm a physician and also into fitness and running and so forth and so on. And I didn't know that much about the paleo diet because it's not like it's in your face all the time. And we embrace a lot of what we know.
And then also with my background in nutrition and all that, you know, we always, even with the vegetarian diet and all these other diets out there, we also know it's a hard diet to follow. I'm really loving that you are following it. You're an African American sister with your husband, and you're spreading the word into our community too, because most especially because of our prevalence of having a lot of these chronic diseases
and obesity,
and see this type of eating would at least help with some of those issues. So I'm glad that you're doing that. So what would you say to folks when it comes to motivating folks to at least try the whole paleo living?
I mean, I like to tell people you don't have to be 100%, you know, and it's easier if you like scale it back and start out at 80% and so you still have that 20% to kind of cheat a little bit, then you work your way into 100%. So that's one of my things that I tell people. You don't have to be 100% KBO off the top because it is hard and it is, you know, it's not an easy task to change your lifestyle in that manner. But also, I like to tell people to figure out ways to make it work for you. So where you may not feel like you have access to everything the other paleo people in the paleo community have, try and find ways. So one of the things like I do is I shop at, there's a little farm in my neighborhood.
Okay.
And so I shop there. It's cheaper and they have the things that I want to maintain my lifestyle, and it keeps me within my budget.
Is that like a farmer's market?
No, it's not a farmer's market at all. It's just a little, like they only bring in fruits and vegetables that are farmed in our area.
Okay.
So, like on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's local, it's cheaper.
Right.
And and it's always what's in season, so that works, you know, because if it's always what's in season, you are not paying this premium for it coming from someplace else.
Right.
Then the other thing I tell people to do is look for frozen alternatives, right? There are frozen alternatives to just about everything.
Exactly.
To just about everything, right? So there are all kinds of, when you go in the grocery store, if you go in the organic section, you may be able to find some broccoli, you know, that is organic and so and slash frozen, which is important. Or you might find some, like, meats are harder, but I tell people, go to the butcher.
Mm.
Go to a butcher. Go directly to the fish market.
It
saves you money, and it helps.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you maintain this lifestyle.
Okay.
You could go to, let's say, a lot of people go to, like, bulk places, like Costco. Let's say you went to Costco, and you bought a salmon fillet for $21. You're actually only getting half the fish. If you go to the fish market, you pay that same $21 and you get the whole fish.
Right.
You know, so you've got to, you have to be creative because it can be a costly diet and it can become hard to maintain. And then another tip that I like to tell people is if you buy fresh fruit, just be prepared to buy fresh fruit and fresh vegetables every week. Just be prepared, you know, write out your budget because then you are prepared.
Right.
You'll know, well, I have, like right now, I have like 17 sweet potatoes in my kitchen. I have to buy sweet potatoes for a while.
Right.
Things like that.
That's another food, though, that has a lot of diversity. You know, you can bake sweet potato fries and that kind of thing. Yeah.
I do fries. I've grated them up and mixed them with, like, egg to make, like, a hash. And then,
right.
And then I make it into a burger bun. I've done all kinds of things with sweet potatoes.
Some people even, you know, like muffins and use it instead of other things that are more caloric, you know, as a moisture kind of thing. Well, tell us about when we started, you practiced Hatha yoga for 10 years. What is that?
Hatha it's a more intensive sequence of poses, and it's designed to kind of align your skin, your muscles, and your bones. So basically, you end up holding the poses a lot longer. I mean, think about any other yoga and just think about being in the pose much longer and how you flow through the poses. So it's just a very intense version.
So you have gained healthy benefits then. So tell us some of the benefits that you think that you've gained from yoga, because there are benefits.
There are some serious benefits. One that I use this morning is, and I practice every morning.
Okay.
Religiously. So I had a really bad night last night, and while I slept, I didn't sleep well.
Okay.
And so I woke up quite emotional, like my sister always says, in my feelings. And my yoga practice helped me to balance that out. So it helped me to kind of clear my head in a less meditative form.
Active type of exercise.
Reliever. I use it as a stress reliever. It's
exactly.
Actually how I started taking yoga, because I was working in this very stressful work environment, and I was boxing. Mm-hmm. That was my original stress relief. I was like, I'm going to box, because if I'm hitting things, then
wow.
And then, I don't know, the boxing teacher told me to go take the class or something. I don't remember. He was like, you should go take this class. And I did. And I fell in love with it from that point on. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what exercise I was doing, I always went back to yoga after. So if I took some kind of total body conditioning class, I went to a yoga class after. And it also just reminded me of my days dancing. So there was a lot of muscle memory for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it just reminded me of my days of dancing, which is probably why I was able to maintain it for so long.
I know. So what type of dance? I'm just curious. What type of dancing did you do? Contemporary dance or what was it? Modern dance?
I was a classic ballerina.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. I mean, it was a lifetime ago, but yes, I danced classical ballet. I mean, I did jazz, and the only thing was ballet was my...
That was your thing, huh?
That was my thing, and I danced with the Dance Theater Harlem.
Oh, okay, wow. Yes. So you can probably understand, well, not probably, you certainly can understand the journey that Misty Copeland has taken to being the principal ballerina.
Oh, I absolutely understand it. It's very interesting to me to see it.
Mm-hmm.
To see her out there, because I don't, in all the years that I danced, and it was through like high school and college,
mm-hmm.
The only ballerinas I knew were at Dance Theater Harlem, and the only black ballerinas I knew were at Dance Theater Harlem or the ones that my uncle trained at Alvin Ailey. So
it's
very interesting for me. I'm very happy to see her out there, you know, because it's always been that you either danced at Ailey or you danced at CTH. And so now there are all these options for little girls who might be interested in actually pursuing ballet careers.
Right.
And that's what's important, though, for little girls, especially our African-American girls, to look and see somebody in a great position such as you to talk about health and wellness, dancing, and embracing that type of lifestyle. So we're glad that we got a chance to talk to you, right, Dee?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think that practicing yoga and living the paleo way goes hand in hand? What do you think about that?
I think they absolutely go hand in hand. So a lot of my yogi friends are vegetarians, which is not a life I can live at all.
Okay.
I think these two go hand in hand because the paleo lifestyle is about changing everything. And yoga is always about adaptation. So you want to grow in your yoga practice. And
right.
In your paleo life, you grow. Every day that you commit to eating and living a certain way, you grow and you change. So I think they absolutely go hand in hand, and I'm so happy that they're part of my life.
You're listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicki Doe is the owner of Vicki Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. To hear the full program, please subscribe at www.vickidoefitness.com.